Welcome back to the Georgia 2024 show, brought to you by the Georgia Record. Wanted to say we are syndicated now on the Caravan to Midnight and Conservative Daily networks. Welcome to those viewers. If you're new to the show, we bring you everything and you need to know about what's going on in the tip of the spear, in which is Georgia, and the tip of the spear of the election fraud and really what's happening in the country. So we try to go and dig deep into the weeds as to what's happening in the great state of Georgia. Before we get started, well, let me tell you about the show. We have Alana Fishbane from No Left Turn in Education. She has 11 chapters in Georgia and is also involved nationally fighting what's going on in our schools. So she's going to give us an overview there. And again, we have Sarah Thompson and the Chatham Patriots, who are going to talk about more of the GOP shenanigans in Georgia, which is getting crazier by the minute. So I'll let her go into that. One thing before we get started, we have to make money. And one of the ways we are making money now is merchandise. We also own armedforces.press. And I know there's a lot of military viewers right now or retired military separated in Georgia and across the nation. So go to armedforces.press and check out our merch store. You can see the advertisement top left. Just click on that. It'll take you to the store. We have really high quality products, workout gear, hoodies, t-shirts, amazing coffee mugs, Armed Forces Press. Not the kind that rub off, but really high quality. So go there, check out our merch, and help support us. Help support us, free media, because we're not supported by anyone else but you. So we don't get any Zuckerbucks or anything like that. So thank you for checking that out for us. Okay, we got Alana on. Hello.
Hi, sorry for the technical difficulties.
No worries. It happens. Thank you for coming on. I know you're busy. And we talked before the show, and you are very active nationally in fighting what's going on in education. Give us, you know, a lot of people are fighting. Different school districts have different results, and some are making progress, others are not. Do you have a sense of what's happening nationally on the education front?
Yes, it's really, to a large extent, depends on where people are fighting. And honestly, it's not necessarily because it's a blue state or red state that they are more successful. Mm-hmm. It's definitely helpful when you have a governor like DeSantis, mm-hmm. That is very courageous, or electing somebody like Youngkin and having as also lieutenant governor Newsom. So there are other courageous governors. However, since the fight is really school district by school district, community by community, mm-hmm. so although it's very helpful to have those people in high power that, you know, give you almost like an umbrella of protection or support, mm-hmm. It's really depending on the fighters on the ground, mm-hmm. you know, theater by theater by theater. Coming from a military background, Todd, mm-hmm. you know what mm-hmm. I'm talking about.
Yes, yes.
So this is, we have to conquer it school district by school district in order to have really the larger impact. You cannot really rely on one senator, on one governor, on one to really save our country.
So if you do that, then really you take away their power, right? And you give it to the local level when you're actually, you're not depending on anyone else. You're fighting at the local level so that it doesn't matter what the upper echelons do at that point, correct?
Indeed. You know, the powers that we are fighting, we have to understand they are not, at this point, they're not local, although we can control them locally. Mm-hmm. The powers are international. Mm-hmm. You know, the World Economic Forum, mm-hmm. The UN, the World Health Organization, and all of those are actually controlling what's happening in the school district, in mm-hmm. the school that your kid attend. Mm-hmm. So you don't see the big pictures. However, you know, you cannot really kind of fight the World Economic Forum, powerful, wealthy people, and also big corporates, mm-hmm. Including the, you know, the Bill Gates of the world and sure. All the others. However, we have a lot of powers that we have not been exercising. I think ultimately the power is local. You can control the fate of your children, your family, mm-hmm. your community, and in that regard, the fate of your country.
So we're seeing in the election fight, especially in Georgia, interference from the Secretary of State, even to the point of sending armed police, threatening lawsuits, you know, capture of the county attorneys who are giving bad advice to the commissioners, to the election boards. You know, how do you fight that at the education level? Are you seeing that as well? Like if you have a Board of Education election, are you seeing interference from the top down in certain states?
Absolutely. And don't forget the big players, the teachers unions and the George Soros that are funneling a tremendous amount of funds. It is not alone. There are so many of them from the international level and from the outside. We know about the Chinese government interferences with our education on their universities and colleges and the funneling of money to a lot of these institutions that are undermining our country. And again, like all of them know, particularly coming from communist country, you control the kids, give me your kids for 8 years and I'll have a good Bolshevik for life.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's really where our focus should be on for parents and community members and all those fighters, veterans that fought for our countries with enemies abroad, understanding that the enemy is now, unfortunately, I'm calling it this way, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's from within. And we have to protect our country and our families from within, from the forces that are trying to destroy us from within. Many of them are declaring publicly that they are trained Marxists, that's what their ultimate goal is. We have people sitting in the government. Ocasio-Cortez is not the only one. Bernie Sanders is not the only one that are writing on their flag communism over and over again. So the thing is that many times surprised me is what would it take for people to wake up?
Yeah.
Many have been. And a major part of our work from the very, very beginning was exposing what's happening and educating the public. And still, people do not believe. You show them the facts. And you show them what's really happening, like what happened in Georgia just a week and a half ago or so with Project Veritas. And when revealing what's with that doctor from Gwinnett County. Something that, in fact, we have been fighting from very beginning for about 2 years now or more in Georgia, in many, many counties, in the biggest counties. Exposing what's happening in schools, exposing what's happening in all those powerhouses that are controlling our kids' education and our lives. And part of the exposing, also what we did in Georgia very successfully in many ways, has been fighting it. From the working with the governor office to working on the school district level or the, you know, education committees. But it's not something that we can win overnight. 2 years is nothing. And just remember how long it has been taking the other side to institute all the policies that now are, we see them in full bloom all over in our schools.
I usually tell people that the gift that Trump gave us was to take the mask off so we saw what was actually going on. So now it's like our one chance to go in before they had captured the entire system and reverse it. Do you feel that way?
And more so, definitely and more so. He also showed that you can fight it. He also showed that you should stand up. Don't let them win their lies that they use as mantras, like Russian collusion collusion that you hear from everywhere. Or there's no CRT in our class. There's no CRT in our class. So by, first of all, exposing, removing the mask, as well as showing that you can fight it and you can win and don't let them with their really well-orchestrated machinery of social media, quote-unquote mainstream media, that there's nothing mainstream about them, but they are so anti-American, not let them really convince you that what you are seeing is not there. You see it. You feel it. It's there. But that their machinery is convincing you, no, there is no CRT. No, the virus did not come from the Wuhan labs. No, it's not, you know, all those things that, you know, well, until you suffer the consequences on a personal level and well, at national level, then you are realizing, oh my God, how did I know this? But it's here and we should really look at it straight in the face and get up and start acting.
So let's talk about Georgia for a second. You have 11 chapters here. It's your most active state. If somebody experiences, you know, pressure from above out of their county, should they call some of your leaders in the state and try to get advice and help on how to counter this from the education level?
Definitely. I do believe Georgia indeed is a phenomenal. We've done phenomenal work in Georgia, many chapters, 11 chapters, in many big counties and others. They work very well, and they work as boots on the ground. And I think in many ways, that's what set us apart from any other movement, nationally as well as locally, that our people are not keyboard warriors. Our people are not just sitting in comfortable offices. We don't have offices. Everybody works from their home. Sitting in comfortable offices on real estate, high real estate areas, and just doing some research and putting out articles. Mm-hmm. Our people are getting messages from real people, from parents, from concerned citizens, taking the information, trying to engage as many people as possible, and going to school board meeting on a regular basis, exposing what's happening, confronting the people who make those decisions on the local level, as well as taking it on the state level, like the state education board. And then in addition to that, that's what I put under the rubric of civic engagement. When we are actually telling people, use your right and be really active civically. The other part of it that is very important is also approaching those people that you put into office. They made promises to you. Yeah. You have to keep them accountable. So you have to go and confront them and make them sure that they are your partners and they are not working against you because they are coward or because they are thinking about the next election or about a particular donor. They have to be accountable to the voters. Because ultimately, that's what will put them in office if they want to be back in office. And all the way from the governor to the all the state legislators. So working together, one of the things, for example, that we did in Georgia, I believe we were, and not only in Georgia, I believe we were the first organization that put out an anti-divisiveness bill, divisive bill. And usually it's referred to the anti-CRT bill. That's commonly referred to as such. And when we put it together, our members in many states took it to their legislators and tried to negotiate with them to adopt it. Obviously, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. And many of them will take part and not all of it. We just hope that will, as many as possible will take as much as possible from that legislation. So in the previous legislation session in Georgia, they took, I believe, quite a bit from our model legislation and adopted it. I've been saying that since, you know, that Project Veritas video and bashing your governor, the governor Kemp and his wife, who is a teacher by profession, and mocking them, in fact, I hope they will wake up and look again at our model legislation and adopt more of it, if not all of it, in order to fight this this cancer.
I think it was a big mistake for Kemp to go to the World Economic Forum and basically, you know, kowtow to the globalist leaders and do what they wanted. So I hope that he got a big backlash. I know we were all over it. Let's switch gears for a minute. You're going to be on our panel. We're having a Protect the Children event down in Miami on February 16th at the Renaissance Ballroom. You can find tickets on the MiamiIndependent.com. Tell us about the protection of children and maybe in the Hispanic community. Do you have any, you know, thoughts on that? Are you active in that community at all? Cause we're kind of going into Miami and, just trying to break new ground.
We are starting, just now. We have a very strong person in Georgia who is Hispanic and, fluent in Spanish, and we are trying now to broaden our activities and capture the community that unfortunately, because of, you know, some obstacle related to language and communication, not realizing how there are vultures out there waiting to capture their children. They think they came to America, they came to a place that have good education, safe environment, and unfortunately, they are not knowing that they're entrusting their kids into a system that is not what they thought it was. In fact, all of us feel in many ways cheated because we trusted all those institutions, particularly the education. I myself never knew about school board. We vote every election religiously. We never skip any election. And obviously, we knew nothing. I knew nothing about school board. I knew nothing about candidates. I was never involved in school board election. And all of a sudden, we realized, holy schmoly, you know, we trusted those institutions. And look what they were have been doing behind our back. And I think it's even worse when it comes to the Hispanic community because of the language barrier, not realizing. And again, you know, some communities are also, have economic challenges, and because they are very busy trying to provide for their families, working very hard, job, two or three jobs, and not realizing that some of those programs that claim to be providing them support and help, in fact, are going to be working against their family. For example, this program that has been spreading very wide, and you had Holly Terry from our chapter in Georgia talking about the program that started, in fact, getting a really very strong backwind during Obama's administration with his Secretary of Education calling it whole community schools. And then it evolved to the program by the CDC when they talk about whole school, whole community, whole child. And as Terry explained in your program last week, that even that word whole, what does it actually mean? It means taking over your whole child.
Yeah, it means Marxist control,
Control completely. You don't see anywhere in that definition the word parents, because parents are not part of the equation. Often I say that not only that the parents are not in the driver's seat, they're not even in the back seat, because this government threw them out of the car altogether. So the parents are not really part of the equation. So the Hispanic community is the real target for us. And we're going to be starting really shifting gear and getting more active in the Hispanic community. Overall, I would say a major problem, and you see it across the board, what they're selling you is pseudoscience or, you know, the same thing is with the COVID. The same thing with, you know, the medical, supposedly scientific measures. It was not with relating to the COVID-19. It's not with relating to the mask, the vaccine, and definitely not with the CRT, critical race, and I'm putting an emphasis on the word theory, not with sexualizing our kids in school. All this, you know, supposedly science that support this kind of aggressive intervention has no basis, not in science, not even in social science, which is not as exact as medical science.
It's obviously just a weapon to destroy societies. I mean, you go down the list: abortion, you know, fentanyl, CRT, gender ideology, the vaccines. It's all to just really destroy our humanity in the West, I think.
So hijacking our language.
Yeah.
With using even the way they use the word science to justify what they are doing when there is really no science behind it. So we have to be very careful. Therefore, in fact, from the beginning, I suggested, actually, I recommended our people not to get bogged down with the terminology. Focus on what is happening.
The consequences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Really what it is. The same thing when people are fighting to see curriculum. I said, the problem is not the curriculum. It's like the devil is in the details.
Yeah, so sure.
It's not the nice titles. You look at the curriculum, everything looks really good. However, what is the material that they are using?
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is. What databases they are using? You know, that all, we just put in January a big newsletter and also posted on our website, a resource that shows what databases are being used in schools around the country. All of them have vendors that sell our kids while the kids are doing, let's say, homework in a certain subject. An ad pops up with a sex toy store or with Planned Parenthood services. Many times, you know, the teachers, they don't know about that, because they're not obviously doing their homework, but when our kids doing the homework and all this material, very sexualized material, is popping up. So it's everywhere. Don't get bogged down with terminology, trying to be a masterful of all the terminology that they are developing. You won't be able to capture it. It's worthless. That's how they are actually wasting your energy and actually, you know, a kind of take your energy away from the real fight, because that terminology is not important. What's important, figuring it out, what are they doing, how they are doing it, and how to stop it.
Yeah, I used to tell people with Obama, you know, it doesn't matter what he says, look at what the consequences of his actions are. So it's the same thing. Let's. I wanted to just talk about Miami. So for our audience, the night of February 16th in Miami, you can go to miamiindependent.com. Elena is on the panel. It's going to be a fantastic discussion on how to protect our children. So please go there and check it out and come join us. Elena, how can people find your organization and help you, and how do they get involved with you?
Please do look for us. We are easy to find. NoLeftTurn.us is our website. We'd love to help you. We'd love you to join us, because the only thing that we can win this war, and it is a war, don't make any mistake about it, is by working together. The more people wake up now before it's too late and join us at NoLeftTurn.us. On the website, also on our Facebook, No Left Turn in Education. We have many chapters. Every state has a chapter. The more people get engaged, the faster we can win it with less, you know, victims along the way. Because that's really the question. It's not if we're going to win it, because in my heart, I feel and I know that we're going to win it. The question is how long it will take and what price are we going to pay?
Yeah, how damaging to our children. You know, for the Hispanic community, you wake up and your daughter tells you she's now a man. That's not a happy day. So get involved now. Thank you very much.
You know what? I'll just mention that there is a lawsuit in Florida of Hispanic family whom the school transitioned their daughter, and she tried to commit suicide twice. Yeah. And the second time, maybe, I don't know if you discussed that case, but it is now in court. The family is suing the school, and rightfully so.
Thank you, Alana. We'll have you back and look forward to working with you in Miami on February 16th.
In Miami and beyond.
Take care.
Thank you very much, Todd.
So one of our other sponsors on the show is MyPillow. Valentine's Day is coming up, and Mike has fantastic sales right now. So go to MyPillow.com, use promo code CDM. Everybody has a daughter who just got married, needs household goods, college students, presents. Mike has over 600 products. Use promo code CDM. Check out all the products. Don't go to the big box retailers. We got rid of Bed Bath & Beyond. Let's work on the others. So support Mike and support free media. Use promo code CDM. Now I want to bring in Sarah Thompson, who you are all familiar with. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for coming back on. I think your mute button is on there.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you go. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. So you are down in the weeds fighting in Georgia, in Bullock, and in the Chatham area. You're also very involved in what's happening at the GOP level. Tell us what you wanted to bring to the Georgia audience today.
Well, the first is just encouragement, first of all, to go reclaim Georgia. That is an ongoing effort. We have 2,721 precincts to fill out with officers. And that's, as you can do the math, there's three officers per. So that's close to 9,000 officers. That's the grassroots. We're the ones that run Georgia. So now is the time to look up your county details, the time, date, and location for your meeting. If you're a big county, over 80,000, it'll be February 11th. And if you are below 80,000, more rural, it'll be a combined event on March 11th. You'll have your caucuses, and then you'll have your convention. All counties also do convention March 11th. So that's priority right now. As far as you know, what's going on, what we're seeing in the counties, just from a statistical standpoint, Todd, you know, sometimes we don't talk in percentages, but I know Fulton County did issue some numbers. This is the work we have to do, and this is our failure, and this is our opportunity. For example, in Fulton County, they have 465 precincts, and they have 350 of those precincts do not have a chairman. And that's grievous. So also, you know, they have 1,500 delegates they could have to reorganize, but last time there were only about 330 present. So we have to show out. Very similarly in Bullitt County, we've been, our convention turnout last time was below 5%. We've been below 20% organizational strength and below 50% county committee strength. So from a statistical standpoint, you know, we've got to show out. This is our Lexington. This is our time to restore and reorganize and reclaim our state. So I just want to give that as kind of a, you know, encouragement. Mm-hmm. Just show up, be brave, be bold, you know, learn something mm-hmm. new and find a friend immediately when you get there.
Yeah, make new friends.
Exactly. Bring your neighbor and say, hey, we're going to listen and we're going to learn and we're going to really pick some great people for our precinct to lead. So that's the first thing. And then I did come to the table with two significant issues today that I shared with you in advance. The first one is just very exciting. On the registration form, I know this is just a quick picture of the registration form. This is mm-hmm. in the manual for conducting conventions. Every single person who attends precinct caucuses does have to register. And that's the only registration point in this whole system. It's the very beginning because that's where your credential, that's where they check and make sure you do live in Fair Precinct in Bullitt County and you are qualified. And the only way they can look you up is if you're a registered voter, right? So on the bottom of this page, there is a, there's an oath and it says here, oath of affirmation. And the first time I attended convention, people were kind of buzzing, not super excited about signing an oath of affirmation to affirm rule 1.1, which is that you believe in the principles of the party, you're in agreement with its aims and purposes, you're in accord with the principles, all fine and good. But the problem has been that they want you to swear or affirm that you're in accord. And as we know, you know, that's a verifiable act. You know, that's where you get a notary, you know, when you're affirming or swearing, if you're going to be in public office in Miami or wherever, you have to take an oath, right? I swear and affirm. And they do make you do that to run for office with the GOP because they don't want to get so far down the road with that person and be like, well, they can't take an oath because they can't live up to this oath. And then we're running them in, you know, as a party person. But that's not just for that's not for party participation. And that's, you know, you're just... me asking my neighbor, hey, I want you to come to this event and you have to take an oath to the party. Yeah. And it's like, there's just something quite wrong. And it's a legal problem that we've discovered. And thankfully the state GOP has now discovered that too, because of our pushing. And what happened this week is really exciting. I couldn't be more thrilled because this protects me. This protects my children. I have an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old that are probably going to engage. Well, I don't want them to feel pressured, you know, to take an oath to a political party. Also, as you probably know, oath is connected to duty, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. if I don't take the oath, they're trying to say, well, if I could violate my duty, well, what duty do I really have? You know, what I'm a little bit fuzzy about, if that makes sense. But just this week, what happened was we probed, it was crazy. It was on Facebook, on social media. We probed and we were like, there's no oath. It doesn't seem like it's in the rules. Why are we having to sign this? And we asked somebody reached out to me and said, hey, Sarah, what do you think about this? And we researched it together. And then I just probed and they went back. The Bullitt County secretary went back to John White, the state parliamentarian. And I encouraged them to go to get the answer. And we got the following answer. This is what they wrote back. John White has weighed in on this issue. The entire oath of affirmation is going to be removed from our precinct form. It will be replaced with, in conformity with the GRP rule 1.1, I affirm that I am in accord with the principles, believe in the declaration, and such aims and purposes. And she wrote, thank you for your time in raising this issue. And we were just like, wow, mm-hmm. It was that fast. It was a matter of maybe 48 hours that happened. Mm-hmm. So what's a little curious is, you know, this was too easy. You know, why was this so easy? And then another question is, are they going to put it out, you know, to all the counties? So all the counties, if people have already registered, they should ask to have their form destroyed, in my opinion, and be given a new form with a proper language to protect them. Because as you know, we're having some questions now, because we've realized that the state hasn't filed with Secretary of State the plan for the convention. Okay, well, that means we're under Title 14 corporate. Well, you definitely don't want to swear an oath to a corporation.
Yeah.
You know, so then what will happen? And that's, you know, to be honest, it's kind of, a lot of things are making sense. Like, are we opposition to the corporation? That's always been our question. And if we've taken an oath, did we just take an oath to the corporation? So then we're opposition. And then now the corporation, you know, it's just all kind of weird. So I think in general, this is great. You know, just don't sign it. And so that's one issue. I don't know. So basically, there's no GOP God. You know, there's no my oath to in that. I hope I've made that pretty clear.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. So anything else that you wanted our audience to know about?
Yes, there's something very important. So when we were coming into Chatham County in 2021, we learned in advance that we could bring in the name, birthday, and address of people who couldn't attend. And we could then bring that to caucuses. And those people could be elected in absentee to be delegates to the county convention. So we did, a lot of people did that. And some of them registered in advance because the party had put it out. You know, it's okay if you can't make it. We'll still send this to your caucus and your caucus might elect you. So many people did that. Well, it's turning out that but on all sides, in all areas of the GOP, patriots, establishment, we're all many believing that that's okay. And we actually did a deep dive of that this week to see, because we all know absentees can be a problem, so we want to make sure, one, that the playing field is level for all caucuses at one, in one county. And then you want that to be level everywhere. So if it's a rule, it's a rule. So here's a summary. And I did work a lot with Chatham on this. This is what we've come to, the conclusion. Only those who show up can vote for precinct officers, and you can't vote for someone who isn't there. And then only those who show up can vote for delegates and alternates, and you can't vote for someone who isn't there. And that is really rooted in not just state and county, but also some of the RNC rules, Rule 15 and 16 in particular. There's a difference between a caucus and a convention. And if you look it up, real simple, in Britannica Encyclopedia, it's fascinating. So if you go to Britannica, caucuses can get kind of in the weeds, and there can be cronyism in caucuses because they're really small. So if you have caucuses, like really strong caucus here and empty caucus over here, then you end up with a lot of problems for the big picture. So conventions have been designed to be more open and broad, and you want people from everywhere to come in. Anybody can make a motion. It's a really amazing thing, but you can't mix the two terms. And so something that's in Rule 1.1, you become a member of the Georgia Republican Party when you're a voter in a precinct caucus, when you're a delegate, when you're a member of committee, or if you're a chairman or officer, right? So that very first one is that you're a voter in a precinct caucus. So if you're not there, what does that mean? You're not a GRP member yet, right? So if you're reaching out to your friend and bringing her name on a napkin, a sticky note, your cell phone, you called her during caucus, desperate for another person, you're bringing in somebody that's not technically into the fold yet. They haven't come into the Georgia Republican Party yet. Not that they couldn't, but they just didn't enter the door. They didn't come in. So they never did the test. And then something that's what we found that kind of sealed the deal. You know, there must be at least one person in a precinct to caucus. One person's there. If you're one person, well, you get to be the chairman, I guess, and you sign the paper, you get one delegate and you go home. And that's all she wrote. But you also, you can't, regarding the delegate selection, there's three quick things that we found that really prove our point. And that's in the state rules and in the manual. And it says this, and this is part four regarding conventions. So it's not even about caucuses, but it says in part four, a person does not have to be in attendance at the county convention to be elected as a delegate or alternate to the state or district convention. Okay, so convention is being the key word. So if you're at county, you're not there, you could still be elected to go higher. Okay, we get that. Mm-hmm. But do you hear the word caucus there? It's not there.
No.
Yeah. And then it refers to rule 9.10B. In 9.10B, it says again, a person does not have to be in attendance or be a delegate or alternate to the convention at which he or she is elected to serve as a delegate or alternate. Again, do you hear the word caucus there? It's not there.
Yep. Yeah.
It's not there. And then it says the final thing in the manual, delegates or alternates nominated must be resident, registered voters of the jurisdiction they are to represent, but they are not required to be in attendance at the convention mm-hmm. at which they are elected. And those are the three references that we found. And so I think that people have been mixing the terms of caucus mm-hmm. and convention in trying to say, well, you can bring in a list of 20 people on a napkin and hope you have space in your caucus. One of the other dangers with that is that if there's, say there's only five slots, and you have three people present and you have 10 more on a napkin, mm-hmm. Then you could end up electing people into those five slots that maybe it's not one of the three present. They would be, well, these people are all famous. You know, they're president of this, they're chairman mm-hmm. of this, they're, you know, and you could end up in a place where even people present could be not elected.
Yeah. Or elect somebody who's not even a Republican.
Right? Well, they're not right.
Yeah.
And they're not credentialed. That's right. So they might potentially not be credentialed in. They might not live in the spot. There might mm-hmm. not be enough time for all the administration to happen to make sure you're electing people who are mm-hmm. in their area. So in general, we feel really peaceful about this. We are going to be reaching out to the state party for the final word on it. Mm-hmm. But we want people to know now, because the last thing you want to do is go get all these little forms or documents or go around and get all this birthdays. I mean, that's PII. Birthdays, mm-hmm. addresses, all these things from people thinking and telling them, oh, I can elect you even if you're not there. Go on to the beach, go to the mountains, go on mm-hmm. vacation. I'll elect you. Don't worry. You know, this little favoritism thing. And then you have to eat crow because it's illegal, wrong. You know, that who wants to go do that? So we want to be really careful and make sure the field is really level. So those are the conclusions. And we're hoping that the state will come back just as quickly as they have on the oath matter. And that patriots and everybody who might be hearing this in the Republican Party would not rely on that they would attract people to attend and clear their calendars for their caucuses to be present and come to the table with something. You know, say, I love my country. This is what I want to do. I want to help with the schools. I want to help with turnout. And so you can be an attractive delegate to win those positions.
Sarah, fantastic. Thank you. I'm sure we'll have you back soon as the issues continue to bubble up in Georgia in the fight to get grassroots participation in the GOP. Thank you very much for coming on. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about your website real quick and where people can go?
Oh, yes. Everything I've referred to is right on our website, goreclaimga.org. The official document for the convention and the manual is right there. Just scroll down horizontal bars. We're at about like 12 or 13 days left to our first caucus. There's a great video on top. The Roberts Rules training is coming down the pipeline. Really dig in there. And also, you know, I would also encourage everybody, if you need help with rules and you need a look, we are a county, we're getting professional help to look at our stuff. I mean, it's scary. You know, we want to make sure that everything's going well. Parliamentarians.org is where we've looked. I mean, I hope that's okay to put the shameless plug. I mean, they're professionals. Sure, sure. I encourage everybody to consider reaching out to them. And maybe even if you don't have the support in your county, maybe you could even hire it in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Sarah. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Take care. Well, thank you for being patient in the beginning with our technical issues with Alana. Again, we try to make the show live so we can bring the latest information to you as to what's happening in the great state of Georgia. So until next week, we'll see you again, and take care.